Welcome to this sermon from Silver Lake Baptist Church. Our mission is to celebrate the greatness of God with all we are for the joy, hope, and renewal of our community. We are so glad you have chosen to listen to our message. We pray you'll be blessed by your time with us today.
Sounds like God, right?
Hello.
Okay, let's pray. Father, thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for the season that we get to celebrate you, Father, or Jesus. And Father, just thank you for all your blessings and goodness that you have for us. Holy Spirit, speak through me this morning in the mighty name of
Jesus.
Of who?
Jesus.
I'm sorry, I couldn't hear you.
Jesus.
Jesus. Okay. Amen. Okay. All right. We all know every year we celebrate the season and we celebrate a birthday and we know what we're here for, right? So we're here to celebrate Jim's birthday, right?
No.
Yesterday was Jim's birthday, right? Yeah. So I want to wish you a very, very happy birthday. But I think it's cool. We are going to celebrate and say happy birthday to Jim. But I think there's another reason we're here, right? The reason for the season, right? Which is Santa Claus. Right? Anybody here? It's not Santa Claus? So it's not Jim. And it's not Santa Claus. We're running out of options, aren't we?
Jesus.
See, I got someone back there that's like, Santa Claus, yay, right? So it's who?
Jesus.
Oh, thank you guys for reminding me about that. So I guess this morning we'll talk about Jesus, right? Yeah, it's a good idea. I love this season, and I'm really excited about this Christmas season. And this season, God's really been putting it more on my heart, more and more, about celebrating Jesus as with us. And that's what the whole season's about, right? Unto us a child is born, right? Unto us a Savior is given, right? And all year round, I know I hit it a lot, is I want us to remember that, like, is he coming back someday? Of course he is, right? But what about him being here right now? And that's the Christmas story, right? Is Emmanuel, God with us, Christ, where? In us is the hope of glory. And I'm going to come back here because I think it was so important last week. And I'd almost got finished before I had to dive out of here, right? And so I want to go back to Mary in Luke chapter 1. And I'm gonna trace my steps just a little bit. Because I think there's so much richness in the scripture that we can bypass it and we lose how real God really is to us, right? And how present he really is right here and right now. And that's really what Christmas is about. So it says in Luke chapter 1, verse 26, in the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is what?
With you.
Okay, now watch this. Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name." What's the name?
Jesus.
I couldn't hear you. What's the name?
Jesus.
Thank you. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob for a few years.
Forever.
How long is forever?
Forever.
Like about as long as this message is taken, right? Forever, right? His kingdom will never end. Now, I get caught up because I love this conversation between Mary and the angel, right? It's so fascinating to me. She's minding her own business. And back then, it wasn't that they went to the temple to worship God in his presence, even though he's everywhere, like he's omnipresent. He's omnipowerful, right? And he knows everything, right? He literally knows everything. Sometimes I think I do, but I'm not God, right? So here they would go and they would worship in the temple, and that's where God's presence would be, right? And so now he's saying, you don't have to go to the temple to worship God because I'm going to be with you where you're at, right? And so the temple's a shadow of, the Bible says that we're what? We're the temple of the Holy Spirit, right? And so we see Zechariah going in the temple to minister to God and runs into an angel, and then he's shocked that he runs into an angel, right? You'd think if you're going around the presence of God, you wouldn't be real shocked about running into an angel, right? And so, but now Mary, she's not going to the temple. She's minding her own business. She's sitting here, and an angel shows up and says, hey, you found great favor with me, with God. And she's like, what did I do? God is with you. The Lord is with you. He's with you, Mary. Not, you don't have to go to him. He's coming to you. He's coming to you. And I think it's quite cool how it unfolds beyond that, because he's telling her, this is the Son of the Most High. It's the Messiah. She knew who the Messiah was, right? She knew who the Messiah was going to be, right? She didn't know it was going to be Jesus, but she knew about the Messiah. So it wasn't like when he's telling her, hey, the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end. And of course, Mary says, well, how will this be, dude? Like, I know you're an angel and you don't know the ways of this world. It don't work like that, right? And the angel answered and says, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Now watch this. I think a lot of church areas that we lose the divinity of Jesus. Right? We look at him and think of God as this more like Zeus, this big guy with a long beard sitting up there, gray haired, playing whop-a-mo with us. And he's so mad at us that he has to send his son to die for us so he won't be mad at us anymore. And that's not the gospel. That's not the scripture at all. And then we lose, well, Jesus was a good teacher, or he was a good man, or he's GJ. God Jr. And he's not. He wasn't, he's not, and he's not going to be. He is God in total and in whole, and we can trust that. It's serious. Like, I got quotes on my phone right here going back to literally when they did the Council of Nicene, and then I got quotes that I was going to share from two of John's disciples. And then I was like, nah, the scripture should be enough of our authority on that. Christmas is a big deal because God didn't just send his son, but Jesus, the one whom in all things and through all things were made, came. And he came and became one of us. That's pretty cool. He's like, I ain't a God far off. I want to be a God that's with you. I want to know you. The Bible says that we don't have a high priest that hasn't felt our infirmities and gone through stuff that we've gone through. Jesus knows what it's like to mourn. Jesus knows what it's like to hit his finger with a hammer. Only he probably said better words than we say. Jesus knew what it was like to be rejected. Jesus knew what it was like for his family not to believe in him. And Jesus knew before he even came why he was coming and what he was coming for. So I was just thinking about it this morning. I was like, my mom and dad always said the first word I said was cow. And then I said horse. And then mom and dad were kind of somewhere in the middle of that. But I thought, when I was created, like, I knew my purpose. I loved horses so much. I knew I was born to be around horses. And I just wanted to be around horses, right? It wasn't something that, oh, well, there's a horse. It was something that come from inside me. It was something that God put inside me. And, like, I couldn't go down the road without pointing cow, 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 or horse, 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 horse. I still do that same stinking thing, right? And I'm 29 years old now. I'm not lying either, right? But I loved it. I just think about it. Like, I couldn't wait. Like, when I was born, like, literally, I didn't even know. But I couldn't wait to be around horses. And now, here's Jesus. And he was born for you. He was born to be around you. He didn't just come here. He's like, I'm going to pay for all their sins and make sure dad's not mad at you no more. And then if you do good and toe the line, then everything's going to be all right, kind of. And then maybe someday when I come back or when you die, you can have a relationship with us and have heaven. That's not the gospel. That's not what he come for. He said, I love you so much that I'm going to come and live for you, and I'm going to redeem you, and I'm going to bring you back into relationship with the Father. And now you don't have to worry about this sin consciousness, because I'm going to pay the price for your sin. And now you know that you are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. It was a promise. He didn't just wake up one day and say, oh, well, this world's going haywire now. What are we going to do? And Jesus is like, hey, I'll go, I guess. No. He knew from the foundation of the world. He knew before you were ever even born. Do you know he knew you? Do you know he had a plan for you? Do you know he had a heart for you? And do you know that the reason that he came was for you? Think about that. If you were the only person that ever existed, he still would have done it. Because that's how he deals. Like, I've learned to talk to him, and the more I get to know him, the more I realize how cool he is and how cool he thinks I am. He's not the only one. I think I'm pretty cool, too. I got a mirror. The more I feel his love, you know what I want to do? I want to get to know him more. I want to be around him more. I want to tell him jokes. And he laughs at them. Most of the time. I want to feel his heart. And then when you feel him and you're around other people and you can walk through the store and then you can feel something just not right and look over and see someone with their head down, then you can just like, Father, just show them your love right now. Lift their head up. And then you're walking with him. Not just with him, but the Bible says this. It says, in him we live and move and have our being. It's pretty powerful when you think about it. Not just us in him, but him in us. Mary was the first one to carry Jesus. You know what? You get to carry him too. See, unto you a child was born. Unto you a son was given. And his name's Salvation. He's a Prince of Peace. He's the Lord of Lords. He's a King of Kings. He's the one who was and is and will forever be. That's just not a little 8-pound, 6-ounce baby Jesus. That was a king. And that king lives inside of you. He's knocking on the door of our heart and he's saying, let me out. Let me out. Let me be birthed to this world out here that's hurting. And you know what he chose? He chose you. He says, hey, just like Mary, I'm with you. Just like Mary, you have found favor with me. And you know what was so cool about it? After he gave her the promise, everything was so peachy. Like she put on this Disney princess dress and went dancing down the forest and all the little animals were out and everything just was perfect. No. It was super easy too, having Jesus. No. Right? Birthing him into the world. It was really easy for her. No. Right? There was no opposition. Everybody just rolled out the carpet. They always had lots of people around them cheering them on. Like they even announced it on the news. They did a whole 60-minute special on it. They were so excited. No. What God is birthing in this season, there's things you've been carrying. There's promises you've been carrying. And God says, I'm going to birth them. But a lot of times, when he births the great things, it's not birth to great applause and great crowds, but it's birth in a silent, still night. Maybe the world don't have room for him, but he's already in everything. Now watch this. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end. How will this be? Mary asked the angel. Since I am a virgin, the angel answered, the Holy Spirit will come upon you. The power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Pretty powerful. You know he's overshadowing you. You know, I really feel like he wants to do something in this season in people's lives that they've never expected that he would do. Show favor in ways you never expected him to. And not do it to say, hey, look, I'm just doing this so you can bless someone else. But he's like, I got a present for you. I want to reveal myself to you in ways you've never dreamed. He says, oh, I got a Will you say yes? Some of us are saying, well, how will this be? I don't know what they put in the pastor's eggnog. Because God can do what he wants to do because he simply is God. That's it. No matter what anyone else thinks or says. I'm God. An angel answered, the Holy Spirit will come upon you. The power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age. And she who was said to be barren is in her sixth month. Hear that promise in Isaiah. Rejoice. Rejoice, the barren one. Greater are your days. Don't let what you see with your eyes override what God says in your heart. Are we going to use this? He didn't say try to figure everything out. Zechariah did. And God had to shut him up to show him. Mary, on the other hand, had a different response. Because the angel said, only a few things are possible with God. Some things are possible with God. For nothing is impossible with God. And you know what she says? The most powerful, maybe the most powerful response in all of Scripture. She says, I am the Lord's servant. May it be to me as you have said. May it be to me according to your word. And what she said, I know this is impossible. I know it looks bad. I know that what you're saying is beyond what I can even comprehend or looks like in the natural. But you said it. And so she said, I am your servant, let it be to me according to your word. May it be to you as you have said. And she literally birthed the word. Because it says in the beginning was what? And the word was with God, and the word
was God.
In and through him all things were created. You know what that means? He is God. The Holy Spirit's overshadowed you and spoke some things to your heart, not just individually, but collectively and to this church. And what he births may seem impossible to man, but according to his word, it will blow your socks off. I only got 2 hours left. I'm going over to Luke 2. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was a census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria, and everyone went to his own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house of the line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in clothes and placed him in a manger because there was no room for him in the inn. I think about that a lot. There was no room for him in the inn. Do we have room for him? Do we give him space? Do we recognize him? We get to choose. See, the first time he come, here he is. He's born into the world. There's no room for him. He said, I'll go to the barn. Ain't no problem. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you really bad news." I bring you good news. Good news of great joy that will be for some people. All people, today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. I thought he was born to Mary. Now he's going out to the shepherds in the field. A lot of people talk about the shepherds as like in Bethlehem was where they raised the sheep that would go to be sacrificed on Passover. So here are these, whether that's true or not, we know that the shepherds were out taking care of their sheep. Again, they're minding their own business, literally. And the angel appears to him and says, "Hey, I got great news. I got good news. Glad tidings of great joy. Jesus is going to come and the Savior's born and he's going to die for you and you're going to get to live forever, but you got to keep all these rules." No. God's really mad at you, so he's sending me because he's mad at you. No. He's like, heaven had waited for this moment. You ever have good news and like you just can't not tell somebody? That's it. Heaven was so excited. They're like, "I know we told Mary. I know that Joseph knows. And I know what happened with Zechariah and with Elizabeth and even John the Baptist leaped in his mother's womb," right? He's like, "I know, but I just can't be quiet because this is such good news." So he's like, I gotta tell someone." So he's like, they're out in the middle of the pasture, no one's gonna hear. So I'm gonna tell the shepherds. "I got good news for you. Shepherds, today I got good news for you. With great joy. That will be for all people. Even the ones we don't like." "Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in clothes and lying in a manger." And he's like, the angels are like, "Can we go now? Can we? I got to do this. And what happened? Suddenly, a great company of heavenly hosts appeared with the angel praising God and saying, you better get your act right. No? What did they say? Glory to God in what? And when you get to heaven, you will have peace. And what? And on earth, peace to who? To men. On whom his favor rests. That's powerful. And you really, really like chew that, spit it up, chew it again, spit it up, and about the fourth or fifth time it tastes a whole lot better. A lot better than the turkey you eat on Thanksgiving when it's like trying to come back up and then you have to swallow it again. Not like that. Right? Man, I had a nightmare the other night. I was like, someone handed me a cup of something and they had stuck their hand in mayonnaise. And so I touched the cup and I couldn't see. I knew it had mayonnaise on after I touched it because I could smell it and I could feel it. And so I was like, and I was like, in my dream, I was like, I got mayonnaise on my hand. It's like, this is horrible. And so I could smell it so strong that I started gagging. And so I woke up in the middle of the night and I'm going, and I could smell it for like 45 minutes after my dream. Right? This, though, it don't smell like mayonnaise, man. Smells like chocolate cookies and fudge and all the good things that you shouldn't eat, but you do. Right? This is good to eat. Meditate on that. When you really think about what he's saying, glory to God in the highest. And on earth. Where? On earth. I think about this all the time because I grew up always hearing it. I can't wait till I get to go to heaven and see Jesus. Or I can't wait till he comes back. And the whole time, Jesus is in here. I sent you here for a purpose. I sent you here so that you could live in and through me and I could live through you. You have a purpose right here, right now. That's why Jesus came. That's why Jesus died. That's why Jesus rose again. Was so that you could live in victory, in that victory. Right here, right now. In fact, the Lord's Prayer says, our Father who art in heaven, let us see your face when we get there. No. He said, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Thy kingdom what?
Come.
Thy kingdom what?
Come.
Come. Do you know what that? This is when it come. In Jesus, thy kingdom come, thy will be
done.
Where?
On earth.
Where's earth?
Right
here. Is this earth? Okay, I was just checking because I know they're starting to do probes to go to Mars, so I thought maybe we got zapped up there or something by Scotty. No? On earth, right here, as it is where? Right? As he is, so are we where? Right here. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, to men on whom God's really mad at, on whom his favor rests. Do you know the very act that God sent his son was favor? And I don't know if we can even grasp at this side of heaven how much favor that really was for us. But I want to try. Like anybody, like make cookies or have cookies, or someone's making cookies in the oven, and you just can't wait. Oh, I got to eat every one of them. It smells so good. I can't wait to get it. And when they come out, you eat them all, and then no one else has any. Right? But it's good news because you can get some more stuff and make it again, right? That's what I want. I want my cookies now. I want to know him now. I want to live in him now. And that's why he came. That's why he was born. Was for now. Now watch this. When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Whew, I need some coffee." I don't think that's what they said. "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." I just can't think. Like, I know when I was a little kid, I was either a three king or an angel, usually. Right? And they'd do all these, and I heard it all my life. But I'm still trying to grasp exactly what happened. Shepherds minding their own business, and the angel shows up, "Hey, don't be afraid," because they were already terrified. And then a choir shows up and start singing, "Glory to God in the highest and peace on earth, favor to all men." And then they get excited. Like, we got to go to Bethlehem. We got to see this. And so that's where they go. So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in a manger. And when they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. See, we can talk out of duty or talk out of something that we haven't heard or heard from someone else. But when we experience something, and we're like, "I can't not talk about this," it becomes infectious. That same promise is to you. Maybe you out there watching. Like, "I don't know him. I know about him. I know about Santa Claus and Jack Frost and Frosty and Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. And the Jesus, I don't know." He's like, "I know you. You have found favor with me. And I want to live in and through you. And I want to do great things for you if you'll just surrender. It's your choice. You get to make the choice." Just like Mary. Her response was, "So be it according to what? Your word. So be it. What do you say about this? You say that I'm favored. Highly favored. You say that Jesus come to live with me? I want to know him. I want to know him in the power of the resurrection, and that same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead lives in me, and it says it even makes my mortal body alive." And when they had heard him, when they had seen him, I'm in set on 17, when they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told to them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed. I'm amazed. At what the shepherd said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. telling you this is a great season. We get a choice this Christmas, though. Can we recognize the season? Can we recognize the promises? Can you recognize that you're highly favored and that God loves you? Or can you recognize this? That just wasn't a baby that was born. That was a king of the universe. The King of Kings. The creator of heaven and earth. Amen. And he lives in you. So love on your family, love on your friends, and celebrate him. Just recognize, I don't care what situation. I'm not denying situations or bringing an outside, far-off God to an outside situation. I'm living with the King and Creator of the universe at which every obstacle, problem dissolves. The King of Kings. His name is Jesus. Amen? Thank you for your word, Father. Thank you for your peace. We just give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for listening. If you'd like to learn more about us, check out our website at www.silverlakebaptist.org.